Hey guys, this is Jacques. Welcome back to Unpopular, episode 99. Can you believe it? Time really flies when you're miserable. Today's show's kind of random, I think. These are just things that are like bouncing around my brain that I want to get out and talk about. So that's what the show is. That's what I want to talk about. I did have a few angry members of the Bedbug Hive in my DMs upset that I dragged Beyonce last week. It wasn't as bad as I expected that it may be because it's a truly psychotic, cultish fandom, the Bedbug Hive, but I don't think that many, like, pop stans listen to my podcast anyway, which is like probably a good thing. I remember I was scared once of the Britney stans too, again another fucking pack of loonies. And the Britney stans have been like real quiet since she got freed because I think they're like, you know, looking at their girl out in the wild and they're just a bit like, you know, we're just not going to say anything. So they've like shut up. The Beyonce fans are being like really feral on Twitter as usual, but like most of them have left me alone except for a few in my DMs. I feel actually really bad for the Beyonce fans because they are brainwashed and they don't even realize it. Like they have been subjected to like decades of Beyonce propaganda, convincing them that she is the greatest artist of her generation, actually of any generation, because they come out now and they say, oh, Beyonce's better than Michael Jackson. Beyonce's better than Prince. No, she's fucking not. Like, not at all. You know fucking how many instruments Prince could play, how talented Prince was, like as a songwriter, as a producer, as a musician, as a performer. Like Beyonce is a good vocalist and, you know, her performance is questionable depending what style of performance you like. Like, yeah, if you like someone spreading their legs and thrashing around violently on stage like they're having a fucking seizure, then I guess she's a good performer. Look, she's a better performer than Katy Perry and like Rihanna and stuff. I'll give her that. But like, is she on the level of Prince? No. Is she on the level of Michael Jackson? No. Like, she's a talented girl, but she's not that talented, okay? Like, yes, she's more talented than like the average pop star, but the average level of talent of the average pop star is like pretty fucking low. So it's not that hard to surpass them in talent. And as for her artistry, that's fake. Do you guys even know that? That's the thing. Like the fucking Beyonce fans, they think she's, oh my God, she's so talented. She's a real artist, not like the other pop stars. She's a real artist. Guys, her artistry is fake. All of her songwriting credits are like fake. You know, I don't know if she's contributing to her albums now because I don't follow her that closely now, but like back in the day for her first few albums, she had all fake songwriting credits. She would take the lead. Okay, when they list the credits of a song of who produced it and who wrote it, every single song, by the way, that is on her albums, it says that she co-produced and co-wrote, which she did not, because like I've heard the fucking demos. The demos leak and the song is exactly the same. Beyonce will come in, change the, in one case, she remade a song from Victoria Beckham. Yes, Victoria Beckham from the Spice Girls. She put that song on B-Day. She changed one word, okay? Literally one word on there. And then she added some vocal runs, you know, some, you know, in the background. And then she listed herself as the lead producer and like lead songwriter. Like she does. And that means she takes like most of the royalties from it. And people do that because they want to get their song on the Beyonce album. That's very common in the music industry. I actually studied music industry business, by the way. Like, I have a fucking, like, diploma or certificate or whatever. I did it for, like, I think 2.5 years, like, back in the day, so I know about this shit. Like, real songwriters and people in the industry, like, taught us, okay? A lot of those songwriting credits and stuff are all fake with a lot of these commercial artists, but not everyone is so greedy like Beyonce that they go and take the lead songwriting and the lead fucking producer credit. You know what I mean? Like, go look at, like, Rihanna's credits and stuff, and, like, Britney Spears and shit. Like, they don't do that. So Beyonce does that. She is very shady. Her artistry is very fake. It was fake from the beginning. They created this persona of her being this like real artist. Like she's not, she's a somewhat talented like pop star. She has a good voice. She has some good songs. Her music's hit and miss. Okay. By the way, so funny. People think she's like such a hit machine. She hasn't had a hit in 10 years. Okay. And I'm talking about like a real hit. Her last hit was Drunk in Love. That was about 10 years ago. When I'm talking about hit, okay, I'm talking about like, if I mention the song to you, do you like think of the chorus in your head? Did this song go, not only was it a hit on the charts going multi-platinum, but like when I mention, okay, this song, like do you really like know the song? Okay, did it do well on the charts and everything? No, her songs did not. Like I'm going to go through her fucking discography because so funny. she does not have as many hits as you guys think that she has, okay? And that's another thing that she did that you guys all fell for. She rebranded herself as like, I'm an albums artist. I'm an albums artist. Yeah, because you don't have any fucking hits now, you're an albums artist. Remember when she came out, that interview a few years ago, nobody makes albums anymore. Nobody makes bodies of work. Oh my God, so you're the only person that can make a body of work? Two things on that, okay? Yeah, people don't make albums in the same way now because of streaming and we're in a different time. Like, you're such an old man that you're not with the times. Like, people don't listen to music on a Victrola anymore. You know what I mean? But, like, we're not sitting there like, oh, people don't listen to music on a Victrola anymore. Oh, I want the good old days. No, like, you just get with the times and that's how it is. We have streaming now, okay? Which is, there's many positives to streaming. Like, I know that a lot of the artists don't get the right royalties and stuff, but, like, it's so convenient. You can access so much music. Like, you have, like, libraries of music at your fingertips of any genre you want. And also, her saying people don't make a body of work. Well, yeah, maybe not in pop music, okay? Like, does Katy Perry make a body of work? No, she puts out an album, there's like three good singles on there and the rest is like crap, but that's in the pop world. Like, listen to other genres of music, like listen to indie, listen to alternative, listen to country music, etc., etc. Plenty of those people are still making a body of work, okay? So for Beyoncé to come out, no one makes a body of work except me. I'm the only one that can make an album. No, you're not. And yeah, maybe if you're comparing yourself to like the shittiest pop stars, okay? But again, that's just a cover for her not having any hits. So let me go over her recent songs. Never heard of any of these. Be Alive, don't know what that is. Spirit, never heard of it. Oh, from the Lion King soundtrack, girl, stop. All Night, don't know it. Freedom, don't know it. None of these are high on the charts, by the way. Sorry, I don't know that. Formation, I know, sort of know Formation, but I know Formation more as like a meme. Like, no one can, what's the chorus of Formation? You can't tell me the chorus of Formation. You just know that, like, it's like a meme, like that, what is it? Yeah, Get In Formation, Ladies, or whatever. That's a lot of her songs are actual, they're not hits, they're like memes. Like, that Run the World Girls, that's not even like a hit song. They just use that in a lot of like commercials and stuff. And now they use that as like a catchphrase of like, who run the world girls? But that's a shit song. It was not a hit. It used a tired old Diplo sample that had already been used like 20 fucking times. Let's go over these other songs. Pretty Hurts, That's So Cheesy. Partition, is that where she gets fucked in the back of the car? You can't, you don't know the chorus of Partition. Drunk in Love, yes, we know the chorus of Drunk in Love. Okay, that's a hit. I'll give her that. Like, I can acknowledge. Look, triple platinum as well on the charts. I'm looking at Wikipedia. Okay, triple platinum. The average person can probably name the chorus of that song or like hum along to it somewhat. That is a hit. Okay, wow, you've had one hit in 10 years. And some of her music is good. I'm not saying all of her music is shit. Her Four album, which by the way, came out in 2011. So how fucking old is that? Over a decade old, but that album was good. That had some good songs. Not Run the World Girls, that was shit. But like Party was a good song with Andre 3000. Love on Top was a good song. Countdown was a good song. Like, yes, she can put out good songs here and there, but like, she does not have that many really good hits when you go through it. Like, there's such huge gaps between the hits. Like, I'm scrolling through, like, Ego, that's, no one remembers what Ego is. Halo, yeah, okay, that was a hit. Yeah, Halo came out in 2009. Single Ladies, yeah, I'll give her that. That's an iconic song. If I Were a Boy, nah, forgettable. No one even remembers what If I Were a Boy is now if you ask them. Oh my God, you know Beyoncé's If I Were a Boy? They'll be like, what? No, they'll remember Single Ladies. No one remembers If I Were a Boy. Beautiful Liar with Shakira, no one cares. That was just a cheap cash-in song where they just put two, like, pop divas to it, like when J-Lo and Iggy Azalea did that song together. So tacky. Irreplaceable, that was a huge hit, but that's actually a shit song, a very unoriginal song, because the Stargate production that she used with that, you know how many people had that exact same beat as the Irreplaceable? Rihanna, Take a Bow, like five Neo songs. Chris Brown had one with You. Like, every bitch in the industry at that time used that same beat. So yeah, cute song, but I mean, is Beyoncé the most innovative artist ever? No, she's not. So, like, stop pretending that she, like, reinvented the musical wheel. She fucking didn't. going, yeah, so many forgettable songs here. Our Crazy in Love, that was iconic, right? Her first single, Crazy in Love. But you know what's more iconic, and we all know this, is One Thing by A-Marie. First of all, that is a better fucking song. And One Thing by A-Marie, they still use that in commercials and movies all the time. Like, I fucking still hear One Thing by A-Marie all the fucking time. A-Marie, who really did the best work with Rich Harrison. Her work with the producer Rich Harrison is much better than Beyoncé's work with Rich Harrison, because A-Marie is more of a visionary and she has tried more things. So yeah, very overrated Beyoncé. Her new album looking very stale. So we have that new single, the Break My Soul with the Robin S sample. Okay, yeah, done to death. Like I told you, fucking K-pop did that, what, 7 years ago or something. Then the album cover came out and it's just, it's the Studio 54 thing where they, you know, where she ride, the naked chick rides the horse in Studio 54. Do you know how many people have done that concept and imagery? Like, that is so unoriginal. And yeah, the cover's cute, but again, like Beyoncé's, they make her out like she's so innovative. Like she's doing things like no one else can do. No one else can do a tired Robin S sample and that Studio 54 cover that I've seen 10,000 times. And she's calling the album Renaissance, which is so annoying because, you know, in the interviews, she's going to be like, you know, it's a Renaissance, bringing back real music. I felt like artistry was dead, so I had to bring back real music with my Robin S sample that's been done 47 times. Okay, girl. Oh, as well, people think she's so mysterious. Oh, she's not tacky like those other artists on social media. She doesn't have a personality. She's boring. That's why she's not on social media, okay? She doesn't have one of those, like, likable, magnetic personalities like Cardi B, like Rihanna. Like, her personality is so boring. Like, she's so humorless. Like, look at her interviews. She's not articulate. Nothing special about her personality. Very manufactured. Oh, and people think she's so classy because she doesn't talk about her personal life. Well, she talks about her personal life in her music as a marketing stunt. It's almost like the Kardashians, where something will like play out in the media, right? And then the people tune in for the Kardashians episode because they want to see like the real story of that. Like Beyoncé did that when she got married with Jay-Z, then she did Single Ladies, put a ring on it. When Jay-Z cheated on her, the thing in the elevator, like she put that there. Like she just uses that shit to sell records and people are like, well, she's an artist. She puts her life in her music. Girl, she's sitting in a boardroom with like 30 people coming up with like a marketing strategy of like, okay, how can we use this to like sell a few records? So she's just as shameless as like any other pop star that puts their life out on social media. She just does it in a more subtle way that you guys fall for it and you like, you just eat anything she does because you just think she's the queen, okay? And then if you shade Beyoncé, right, they come for you and go, I said this last week, they're like, oh, another white twink's coming in, doesn't like Beyoncé. How unoriginal. And they frame it like you don't understand music or you don't like black music, right? Oh, some white twink, you must be off listening to Katy Perry. You can't appreciate Beyoncé. Like, meanwhile, bitch, do you know how much music I like and I know? Like, I used to be so, like, I've moved past my music phase, okay? I'm not, like, so deep into music anymore, but, like, bitch, I'm at home listening to fucking, like, George Clinton, like, fucking Four Tops, Marvin Gaye, Aaliyah, Erykah Badu, Mary, Hendrix, like, real shit. And then someone, some fucking top 40 loser on Twitter that only listens to, like, Adele and Beyoncé and, like, Nicki Minaj will then frame you, like, you're racist with, like, really basic ass taste in music because you don't like Beyoncé, even though your taste in music is probably, like, a million times more advanced than them. I just cannot stand the Beyoncé fans, and they've done this shit. They've gotten away with this shit for like decades, and they've brainwashed all these people into like, people just think like Beyoncé is like the queen of music without even thinking, just because the magazines tell them. Like, okay, if you want to find a Beyoncé fan, there's two types of Beyoncé fans. The very basic, like just normie, basic ass bitch that's like, yes, Beyoncé is the queen because a magazine told me that she is the queen, so I will say she is the queen. Like, they don't have original thought in their head. So that's one part of her fan base. And the other part of her fan base are just the most rudest, nastiest, like vile bullies. Like, if you go on social media and you see like the fucking, the bed bug hive, like they've tried to like destroy people's lives. Like, Google Beyoncé's fan base and how infamous it is and how fucking nasty and rotten they are, which that is a reflection of Beyoncé, because I just think that like nicer artists, they don't attract their fan base isn't that mean. Like, that's why Nicki Minaj, she has, like, a mean fan base. Like, they're just horrible people. And, like, Nicki's actually very talented and stuff, but she just has a gross, mean fan base. And Cardi B, whatever you want to say about her talents, like, Cardi B's, like, such a nice, cool person, and her, like, fans are way cooler and, like, funnier and stuff. Like, they're just not nasty, because it's not, like, it comes from the top, okay? Speaking of music, okay, so I watched the BET Awards, so random, because I just, like, I couldn't sleep, and I was on YouTube, and I was just, like, going through music, and, like, stuff came up of BET Awards. I don't understand this Jack Harlow. This actually made me feel so old, right? Because this Jack Harlow guy, I don't know him except he was on a Lil Nas X song, but I think he's a white rapper. I don't get it. But then Brandy came out as, like, a guest feature in his song, and she was rapping. She, like, rapped for, like, 5 minutes, like, back in the day. I guess she's, like, bringing back her rap side. But when Brandy came out, I was like, because I fucking love Brandy. Like, I'm a huge Brandy fan. I still listen to a lot of Brandy's music. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so old, because I'm here, like, cheering for Brandy. And I'm like, who's this Jack Harlow that the kids like? It made me feel like I was 1,000 years old. Summer Walker was there. I fucking love Summer Walker. Like, I listen to so much Summer Walker. Like, I mostly kind of just listen to, like, Bad Bunny and Summer Walker, like, or, like, country music or K-pop, obviously. She's, like, my fave R&B diva of, like, now. Like, it used to be Mary when I was really young, Mary J. Blige, and then it was Keisha Cole. I'm, like, the biggest Keisha Cole fan. Now it's Summer Walker. She wore this, like, she was basically naked, okay? She wore some cultural outfit from, I think it was from some, like, tribe in, like, Thailand or something like that, and it was basically this little gold mini skirt that, like, her ass was hanging out of, and then, like, gold pasties on her boobs, and I'm pretty sure she's pregnant at the moment, so her boobs looked, like, really huge, and then she had, like, their, like, cultural, like, religious earrings and accessories and stuff on, and everyone was, like, dragging her, like, that's cultural appropriation, like, how dare she disrespect this precious outfit. It's like, girl, who cares? Like, she looked amazing. It's the fucking BET Awards. Like, remember Lil' Kim at the BET Awards back in the day when she had her titty out and then Diana Ross grabbed it? Like, the BET Awards, like, you can do stuff like that. So I think she looked amazing, and I love that she didn't give a fuck. She's very politically incorrect, Summer Walker. Like, she came out as, like, anti-vax and stuff during the pandemic and was, like, very open about her views. And I think she's into, like, weird conspiracies and stuff too. And I just love that, like, she doesn't care. And she sort of has a reputation of having kind of, like, a bad attitude in the industry. And I think she has, like, mental health issues. And one minute she was like, I'm quitting the industry. And then she came back. Like, she just has a lot of issues, but I love her. She's, like, very real and just puts it all out there. Diddy was honored with, I don't know, BET Lifetime Achievement Award or something. So they did, like, a big medley with him. Okay, so Mary J. Blige came out. She looked great. She does dress like an old school pimp, but I love it. It's, she has her look down, and she hasn't changed it in a long time, but that's her. She still sounds great. She still looks great. Like, she looks beautiful. And, you know, her music is still really good, because I checked out her last album, and, like, I was kind of surprised, because a lot of artists, like, even though she's, like, an R&B, kind of R&B soul artist, but she is still a commercial artist, and commercial artists don't tend to continue making great music past a certain age, and, like, it's not a reflection of their talent. It's just that, you know, a lot of commercial music, a lot of pop music, a lot of, like, the hits, they really come from the producers and the songwriters. And at some point, you know, once you're over 30 or over 40, you're not the hot artist anymore. So then all of those hot producers, then they go and give it to the young person. It's like, you know, the songs that Olivia Rodrigo is getting, like, they're not going to give those to Avril fucking Lavigne, okay? Like, Katy Perry used to get all the hits. Now they're going to give it to, I don't know, who's the new Katy Perry? I don't know any of these fucking new bitches, but you know what I'm saying. But Mary J. Blige, like, the music's still good. Like, she still has some, like, really great songs. So shout out to Mary J. And Lil' Kim was there, and Lil' Kim got, like, I love Lil' Kim, okay? Her first album's, like, my favorite female hip-hop album, Hardcore, but she got, like, roasted on social media for her appearance because she's had a lot of plastic surgery. I kind of didn't think she looked that bad, and then when I looked closely, she had, like, these aviator sunglasses on. And remember when Michael Jackson got all the plastic surgery and he was walking around with those sunglasses on? Like, so it kind of looked like that, and she had blue hair. But I think I was just glad to see her out of the house, because she's like kind of disappeared from the public eye for a while at various times. So I was glad to see her out. She came out. She forgot half of her lines. Diddy was like trying to prompt her on stage. It was really awkward. She has one dance move that she does from this like Mobb Deep video from like 25 years ago. And she was trying to do that. It was awkward. And guys, her body, because people were talking about her face, right? Because, you know, she's had like 40 nose jobs and stuff. At times, her face has looked like it's melting off. At times, she looks amazing. Like, you don't know what you're going to get with her. Like, she'll pop out to an event. Sometimes, she looks like she's on Botched. Other times, you're like, damn, like, Kim looks really good. Like, you just never know. But her body, she has had so much done on her body. She's like 4'11", I think. And she's definitely had butt implants, not just a BBL. I think she's had butt implants on top of a BBL, on top of like lipo around her waist. So she has this tiny little waist and then these enormous kind of like saddlebag hips, big ass, big thighs. And then when it gets down to her knee and her calves, like it goes really skinny again. So it's really like just out of proportion, like a bumblebee. It's a lot. And, you know, Madonna has butt implants too, which they look completely ridiculous. Like, I think it's fun. I kind of like that they got butt implants because I think Lil' Kim and Madonna, they're two people that just, like, don't give a fuck and they're going to do what they want to do. But I just think, like, wow, like, how old's Lil' Kim now? Like, she's probably, like, 50 or 48. And then Madonna's about in her 60s, I think, and they're getting butt implants. And I don't know if that's the best, like, decision to do for your health. Like, you really don't need to do that. And butt implants are going out of fashion because if you've seen the Kardashians lately, they've all downsized their booties. So I don't know. Now Kim and Madonna are stuck with these big fake silicone butts. By the way, one last thing on Lil' Kim. Did you guys know that she did like a reality show like 2 years ago? I actually watched it. I feel like no one else watched it. It was called Girls Cruise. And it was Lil' Kim, Maya, Chili from TLC, and like a few like random friends of theirs. And they went on a cruise they went on a girls' cruise together. And then they went to Barbados and they went to like Rihanna's childhood home. And it was just like girlfriends bonding. And it was actually really good and it totally flopped and no one cared about it and it didn't get picked up for another season and it didn't have good ratings and it didn't have drama, but it was like nice because all of those women, like they're all icons, like Chili, Maya, Lil' Kim, they've all been in the same part of the industry for so long. So it was just a lot of like girls bonding. I know that sounds boring, but it was actually fun because like they were, you know, they were fun. They had big personalities and stuff. And I kind of felt like they should have made that a franchise, like this girls cruise, and just get women from the industry together and they go on a fun vacation, like a little bit housewivesy but more positive, and you know, maybe giving you some tea about the music industry. But I don't know, it flopped anyway. Lil' Kim looked like quite good in that show, and that show was only like 2 years ago, so I don't know what's happened to her face, but again, you never know what you're going to get with her. But shout out to Lil' Kim. Also, thanks to everyone that is supporting me on Patreon. I haven't given you guys a Patreon shout out for a while, which I know that I'm supposed to do. I just kind of forgot about it. I'm actually a really disorganized person. I don't know if you guys can tell. I actually just downloaded a budgeting app. I actually asked you guys on Instagram to give me advice of like which budgeting app to get. And, you know, I'm a little embarrassed about how much money I was wasting, like, because I'm just, it was just ridiculous. I was like going through it and I was like, wait, why am I paying? Like, I'm still paying this like PlayStation thing where I haven't played my PlayStation in like 8 months. My phone bill was like way too high. This is what happens when you go for, like, I don't have money. Okay. But I was so broke for so much of my life. I'm talking about eating fucking like 2 minute noodles for dinner and stuff. And then once I started having, you know, steady income coming in more, really not until I was in my late 20s was I like getting it together. I just didn't know anything about budgeting or, you know, being careful with money and stuff. So I've just always, if there's money there, I spend it. If there's not, I don't. And I eat 2 minute noodles. So like going through this was, I was just like really embarrassed about, not embarrassed, but you know, I'm just like, wow, I've really been like, I've been wasting a lot of fucking money. So I'm just getting my shit together at the moment. But yes, I'm very disorganized and I haven't given my Patreon shout outs for a while. I did do a new Patreon episode actually a couple of days ago. I was talking about how amputees are really hot. I got into all the Wendy Williams stuff. There's a lot going on with Wendy Williams. I think I talked about Housewives of Atlanta. You know, mentioned it all as usual, but thanks to everyone that signed up. Shout out Emma, Dogloaf, Someone signed up with Dog Loaf. Ashley, Diane, Nora, Hannah, Anne, Chelsea, Brady, Will, Rachel, Baz, Amy, Alex, Madge, Courtney, Addie, Riley, Eric, Samantha, Anna, Stephanie, Diana, Jess, Becky. Most, like half these people are probably like cancelled their Patreon by now, but yeah. Much love to you all. Thank you for supporting me. Patreon.com/unpopularjp. Yeah, thanks, guys. All right, shifting gears a little bit. I want to talk about Jordan Peterson, the Canadian psychologist, cultural critic. I don't know what to classify him as anymore. He does a lot of different things. He's completely lost the fucking plot, okay? He's insane now. It's really sad to see because I was a huge fan of his. He really helped me a lot. He really helped me a lot with depression, you know, back in the day, years ago. I've seen him twice, I think. I met him once. He signed my book. I got a photo with him. I have a selfie with him somewhere. I'm not sure where. I should track it down. And I remember he said to me, Jacques Peterson, what are you... I'm not trying to do his accent. But he said, what are you doing with such a French-Canadian name? And he seemed really nice. This was years ago. And then the other time I saw him, he... No, Married at First Sight was airing season 6, like the best fucking reality TV season ever, the most legendary one. That was the one with Innes and Jess Power. And it was the episode, I think, where Martha and Cyrell got into the fight when Cyrell attacked her and smashed the fruit bowl and everything. And I was so hyped to watch it. So when we were in line waiting to go in for Jordan Peterson, I was like, because live streaming it as it was airing on my phone. And then I was like sitting there in the audience, literally watching it right up until Jordan came on stage. Cause I'm like, I cannot miss fucking Martha and Cyrell getting into it. So I have to say, was a very, very big fan of his. And a few years ago, he got addicted to, I can't remember what the drug was, some kind of antipsychotic medication or some, I don't know if it was a antidepressant, some full-on thing that he got completely addicted to, and then he had to go to rehab and he had a mental breakdown. And also his wife almost died, and I think that was very traumatic. And ever since that happened and he came back, he has not been the same, and he's getting increasingly wackier all the time, and you know, I hate to see it. So he just got suspended from Twitter for misgendering, you know, Elliot Page, the actor formerly Ellen Page, and he's just really gone off the deep end. So this was the tweet that got him suspended. This is honestly such a dumb tweet, and I don't even understand why he felt the need to put this out. He tweeted, "Remember when pride was a sin and Ellen Page just had her breasts removed by a criminal physician?" Where do I even start with this? Okay, so why are you attacking pride? Who cares? I don't like pride either. Like, I've been before the Mardi Gras in Australia. It was a lot of fun. I probably wouldn't go now. Like, the music's shit. You know, it's shit techno music. Everyone's on drugs. Like, everyone is just, it's like a tacky kind of person. Yes, it's fun when you're like 25 and want to go and get wasted. You know, as a grown adult, like, you know, in my 30s, I can't imagine going. It just seems like immature and like just classless. But also, like, who cares? Like, if people want to go and do it, like, let them go to fucking Pride. Like, there's plenty of other, it's not just Pride. Like, how many things are going on that we may not approve of? I don't know. I'm sure there's like weird swingers parties. And have you seen those things on YouTube with like the adult babies? People dress up as babies and then they have like carers and stuff, you know, the adult baby. Like, people do all kinds of like weird shit. Leave people alone. Who gives a fuck if someone's having a pride parade and he's going, remember when pride was a sin? Like, that, are you the Westboro Baptist Church? That sounds like a Westboro Baptist Church tweet. And Jordan Peterson was like never homophobic or anything back in the day. He got labeled as that, which he definitely was not, in my opinion, homophobic at all. But then that tweet, I'm a bit like, that's just like low-hanging fruit. It's getting on that whole, like I've been talking about, this like conservative now obsession with like pride parades and stuff. So I just thought that was so annoying and such a stupid thing to tweet. Remember when pride was a sin? Well, don't go, bitch. Like, let the tacky pride people in their leather gimp gear and the drag queens and, you know, everyone fucked on GHB and whatever the fuck they're doing now, getting banged in an alley. Let them do it. Like, stop. Like, you're not fucking you're not the Westboro Baptist Church, or maybe you are. Like, please stop. And then the Ellen Page thing, well, Elliot Page, whatever. Okay, it's not criminal to get a, you know, mastectomy, whatever, first, okay, to remove your breasts, like, Women remove their breasts all the time for all kinds of things, whether it's a breast reduction, whether it's preventative for cancer, if it's a, you know, gender transition. And I've been outspoken about, you know, a lot of the trans stuff, but I'm really talking about like kids and, you know, putting kids on hormone blockers or encouraging kids to be trans and stuff, because I don't think you're, you know, fully developed then. Like, I don't think it's a decision that young people should be making. Elliot Page is 35 years old, okay? Look, do I think Elliot Page is kind of crazy? Yes, I've looked at Elliot Page's interviews. They don't seem all there. But again, Elliot Page is 35 years old. All right, it's not a 12-year-old that's getting a mastectomy to transition and on puberty blockers. This is a grown adult. If they want to get a transition or whatever, they can do it. You know, I don't get the point of, you know, why is he calling her Ellen Page? You know, like, you know that it's Elliot Page now. Just call her Elliot Page. Because the thing was that Jordan used to say, I will call trans people by their, if a trans person goes from like male to female, I'll call them she. He didn't have a problem with that. Like, people made out like he did. His issue when he shot to fame in, like, I think it was like 2015 or 2016, he was opposing compelled speech by law. So, you know, jailing people for misgendering. And he was really focused on all of those, like, the made up pronouns, like the they and the them and the z and the zer, because he's like, this is ridiculous. And then you're trying to put laws into place where we have to call people z and zay. And I'm not going to do that. And that's what he was standing up against. And I totally agreed with him. But he had always said at that time, you know, if a trans person comes in the classroom and they've changed to a he to she and they're presenting as that, like, I'll call them that. Like, I don't give a fuck, you know? And now he's making this whole big, like, Ellen Page, you know, making, going out of his way to say Ellen Page instead of Elliot Page. And then he put out an apology video. And the apology video, he purposely is like flubbing his lines at the start. So he calls Ellen again and he goes, an actress, you know, actress is the female term instead of actor. And then, like, after he says it, he's like, sorry, I mean, Elliot Page, I'm being, you know, forced to say that. Are they going to throw me in jail now? Like, it's so immature. Like, he's making this big point, like, bitching about that he's being forced to say Elliot Page. And it's like, this is just so, like, immature. It's so stupid. Like, you're not helping anybody, like, you're not making, and like, he was like a self-help person at the start, okay? He was opposing this like authoritarian fucking Canadian government bullshit with the compelled speech, which I do agree with him on, and he did a lot of self-help with helping, you know, young men especially, but he had a lot of female fans. I saw him twice. There was a lot of women in the audience because they always said, oh my god, his audience is angry white men. And it's like, I've seen him twice. There are a lot of fucking women in the audience too. I know plenty of female Jordan Peterson fans. And he was doing all the stuff about, you know, clean your room, don't be a victim, like, get your shit together, like, you know, have some kind of spiritual base in your life, like, all these, like, things that are really helpful for people. And now he's, like, complaining about Elliot Page. And this isn't the first time he's done this bullshit. So he got in trouble a few months ago because he was bitching about this Sports Illustrated cover with this model. Her name was Yumi Nu, okay? And she was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. She's plus size. She's not morbidly obese, okay? She's like, yeah, she's sort of, yeah, she's fat, but she's not like, she's not Tess Holliday, okay? Have you seen Tess Holliday? Tess Holliday is morbidly obese. Like, Tess Holliday looks like she would be on like TLC's, like My 1,000-Pound Sisters, whatever, okay? This Yumi Nu chick, okay? Yeah, a few pounds overweight. And Jordan Peterson tweets the cover out and he goes, sorry, not beautiful. And no amount of authoritarian tolerance is going to change that. Like, first of all, she actually is really beautiful. She's a half Asian, like 25-year-old, like swimsuit model. Like, clearly she's beautiful. She's very attractive. Like, put her into Google images. Like, would she look like, I'm keeping it real, would she be prettier if she lost a few pounds? Yes, she would, but, like, she's still fucking hot. Like, she's still gorgeous. So, yes, she would look better if she lost a few pounds. Also, she looks like she probably naturally has a curvy body type. Like, she's a little overweight, okay, for sure, but, like, a lot of people are, like, a few kilos overweight. You know what I mean? And we all have different body types. Like, I have seen plenty of people at the gyms before that have, like, much bigger body type, and it's like, I know that they work out a lot and stuff. Like, maybe their diet's not the best or whatever, but they're not unhealthy. Like, they're not super unhealthy. And again, like, I get the pushback against the fat positivity stuff. Like, I agree. Like, I don't think, like, Tess Holliday and people like that should be glorified, but I don't think that you have to go out of your way to, like, point out every person that is a bit overweight or doesn't have, you know, an Instagram body as something negative, you know? And there is a lot of pressure for us to look great. Like, being in the gay scene, like, the pressure to have, like, the perfect body is a lot. Because, like, okay, in the gay scene, it's not enough to just have, like, a fit, healthy body. Like, you know, they want, like, we're talking carved out abs, like V-line, you know what I mean? Like fucking perfect. Like it's a really lot of work to get to that gay, you know, body standard. It's a lot. And then if you feel like, if you don't have that, you're like, oh my, I can't take my shirt off this summer unless I look like, you know, I look like a fucking model, an Instagram model. So like body positivity is like good. Like I'm glad when they normalize, you know, different body shapes and different body types. Like, no, I don't think it should be as extreme as Tess Holliday, but I feel like this Yumi New Girl, she wasn't that bad. She's a few kilos overweight. Big deal. Like, she still looks really beautiful. I think it was, like, a good cover shoot. And you know what? Also, even if, okay, maybe she is, say for Jordan's sake, okay, say for argument's sake, like, she's promoting an unhealthy body type. Maybe she is. Maybe she actually just eats McDonald's all day, okay, and that's why she looks like that. I think that's actually her body type for the most part, minus a few kilos. But say she's actually really unhealthy, like, Jordan Peterson should have, like, better things to do, like, more positive things to do than, like, that's what you're going to get upset about. Like, aren't you above this? You know, you're, like, an intellectual, right? You've wrote these great books. You've helped all these people, like, change their lives in a really positive way. And now you're getting, like, angry, like, visibly angry about Elliot Page and the swimsuit cover. And the thing with him, like, Jordan Peterson's a good example of just what happens when you get stuck in these echo chambers, because I really, truly do not think he was like this when he came out. I followed him right from the beginning as he very first was coming onto the scene. I was obsessed with him. Like, I listened to him, like, every day. He really had a positive impact on my life, and he has changed, and a lot of it was, like, the left, you know, especially because we came out of this whole period of this extreme wokeness and political correctness. You know, the left wing treated him like garbage. They were, you know, antagonistic and aggressive towards him from, like, day one. They really did smear him. I read a lot of those articles about him at the time. They were horrible. They were not in good faith. Like, they really just wanted to attack him. They really wanted to take what he was saying out of context. Like, it was pretty bad. And he was copying it from the whole world. And the only people that were supporting him was the conservative side. So he ended up becoming, like, besties with Dave Rubin, and Dave Rubin is a dope, okay? Dave Rubin's a fucking idiot. He's full of shit. He's, like, a liar. He's such a grifter. I was a early Dave Rubin fan, and then when I saw what he was and what a fucking hack sellout he was, and I had Blair White on my show, you know, back in the day, and she spilled some tea about Dave Rubin, like, he's full of shit. And Jordan Peterson started hanging out with him, and now Jordan Peterson has signed with the Daily Wire, which is funny because I talked about the Daily Wire like 2 weeks ago and about how they're expanding, you know, they're a conservative news site, but they're doing all this extra content now with like movies and documentaries. They did the What Is a Woman documentary that I reviewed like 2 episodes ago, and they're doing it. Like, I watched one of their movies. I thought it was cool. Like, good for them. Like, nothing against the Daily Wire, but you know, Jordan Peterson, he's only been embraced by that side of the aisle, and the left was so awful to him. And I think now that he's been in that bubble for so long, he's starting to come out with, like, the boomer, you know, like, Rush Limbaugh kind of takes, and just, you know, ranting about trans people. And it is kind of coming off transphobic and just, like, unnecessary. And he just, like, watch the apology video. He's so, like, angry in it. And it's like, you're so angry over this, and it's a fucking tweet about Elliot Page, and it was a stupid, like, it was a bad tweet. The pride part was bad. Remember when pride was a sin? Like, stop. Like, it's just, I think he's too far gone. I think we've lost Jordan Peterson forever. I truly do. I think he's insane. Like, I actually think he's insane. I think it's a combination of a lot of things. But, I would happily reread. I've still got his 12 Rules for Life. I might read it again. And that book had a very positive impact on me and on my habits. And I found it very useful. And I still think he does a lot of good work. I would still listen to him, like, talk about certain topics for sure, because I think it's very inspiring. But we've lost him, okay, guys? It is what it is. These people, happens on both sides. There's plenty of people on the left too. You think, oh, they were kind of a reasonable lefty, and then they turned into this like woke, like authoritarian, like nut job. It just happens to people. It's sad, but you know, very polarized times right now. I felt like we were coming out of it, which we're coming out of it in terms of like, it's not so woke anymore. Like we can push back against certain things without having our lives destroyed. But the polarization is still, I think, just as extreme. So, you know, it's a shame. Okay, while I'm on this like political lean and before we get into Bravo, I kind of want to talk about abortion. Not so much abortion. This is more of an abortion adjacent topic, but it's just been in the news so much. And I've been thinking about it a lot. And it made me think about some things kind of connected to it. You know, I just will say really quickly, I'm pro-choice. I do think it's ending a life, but I think it's a necessary evil to have in the world. I think that people need access to it. I think it's like not really even a man's place to be talking, like to be opposing it, because it's like a women's issue. So I kind of think it's something for like, it's a women's issue. Okay. So I am pro-choice. And I had an experience, many years ago when I was very young, not very young, but youngish, and someone that I knew, a friend, got pregnant. She was from a religious and cultural background that absolutely would not have allowed this. It was a real shock. You know, I think I'm the only person that knew about this. You would never think she would even get pregnant. Like, you would have thought she would be a virgin. You would have thought she would have been never been kissed until her wedding day. Very conservative background and culture. And if that had happened, it would have, the amount of, she would have probably been disowned by her family. You know, she was in the middle of getting a degree. She was very naive with sex. Like, everyone knows that if you don't wear a condom, you know, the sperm goes in the egg, you'll get pregnant. I'm sure she even knew that. But I think because she was very naive and probably had never been, they probably never talked about sex in her household or anything at all, she maybe didn't understand the consequences, you know, like how serious it is, how easily that can happen. And you know what happened? And I was the only person she told, and, you know, we took care of it. And so I understand, you know, why. Yeah, I do. Like, I do think it's ending alive 100%. Like, I don't think it's like, you know, a cluster of cells where, you know, people say it's just cells. It's nothing. Like, yeah, I think it's ending alive. I think it's a serious thing. And I also understand why, you know, you need to have that option there. We don't live in this perfect utopia where we just don't live in the ideal society that we wish we did. And there's just certain things that have to happen, sort of, I think. But anyway, it's a women's thing. Women can kind of should have the say on it. My point is, I'm seeing all this stuff about abortion, and I was like, everyone's coming out with their abortion story now, right? Like, you know, I'm sharing my abortion experience. This is why we need to be pro-choice. You know, I had an abortion at this age. I had an abortion at that age. I've had two abortions. And I was thinking, wow, and like a lot of people have had abortions, damn. And I was thinking, even I've had an experience with, like, I'm a gay man, and I've been involved with someone that, you know, needed an abortion and helped her with that, you know, way back in the day when I was really young. And, you know, we had no idea what we were doing, you know. And it just made me think about, you know, I talk about with gay guys not wanting to wear condoms because they just don't want to wear condoms and they want to go on PrEP. And I've always said, I'm not down with the whole PrEP thing because, like, it does have side effects. And I feel like there's a lot of ways that you can, that you don't, you like, you don't have to be on PrEP. Like, there's a lot of things you can do to avoid having to be on that drug to have sex. You know what I mean? Like, I'm kind of feel like, God, are you a fucking sex addict if you've got to go on this fucking medication just to have sex? And it made me think a lot about, you know, when I was growing up, and I have talked about this in relation to PrEP before, my generation, I was born the late 80s, and they, you know, the 70s and 80s is when they had like the whole AIDS epidemic. So the fear of that definitely went into the 90s. So growing up, we were always taught, like, just overall, always use it. Like, condoms were stressed so much when I was growing up, and especially with gay men. I mean, you were told, like, if you're gay and you have sex without a condom, you will fucking get AIDS and die. Like, you were definitely told that, and straight people as well were told, like, wear a fucking condom. Salt and Pepper had the song Let's Talk About Sex, and Lisa Left Eye from TLC had the condom wrapper on her eye as part of her fashion. Like, it was all about contraception and safe sex. It was a really big thing. And there was a fear around getting AIDS or like getting pregnant and stuff, right? Like, we were kind of scared of that. And I noticed the erosion of condoms when PrEP came in because, you know, I saw the pharmaceutical industry and the marketing they did around it of like basically erasing condoms to tell you to go on this medication. You don't need it. You can just go on this fucking medication. You can take as many fucking bareback loads up your ass as you want. You won't get AIDS. Well, I mean, you still get other shit. By the way, I don't want chlamydia. I don't want gonorrhea, even if it's going to protect me from AIDS. I'm like a pretty healthy person, okay? I don't even get colds that much. Like, I don't want herpes, gonorrhea, chlamydia, AIDS, unwanted pregnancies. I don't want this. I don't want any of that shit, okay? Like, I don't want it. Like, keep it away from me. I think it's gross. Like, yeah, I know people go, well, chlamydia is nothing. Just go to the, you know, the chemist, you get a script and they get rid of it. Okay, sure. That's fine for you. I don't want chlamydia. And when I saw the people coming out, you know, talking about their abortions and stuff, like I said, I'm pro-choice, but I was kind of thinking like, fuck, can any of you bitches wear a goddamn condom? Like, we need to bring these condoms back. No one's afraid of AIDS or STDs anymore. And no one understands the gravity of, like, when you get an abortion, you are ending a fucking life. And to pretend otherwise is just ridiculous. It's so naive. You're just fucking lying to yourself. You're ending a life. And I understand that it's a necessary evil of our society. And, you know, it's like I said, my friend, I felt like, yeah, she had to, her life could have been, look, who knows how her life would have turned out if she kept the baby. But I'm telling you, with her family, her religion, her everything, wouldn't have been cute for her to come home and go, I'm pregnant, okay? Could have been real bad for her. So, you know, I get it, but I'm just like, can we get back to wearing fucking condoms? And the thing is, and this is on the men now, like I said, you know, women, I think it's more up to women to have an opinion on abortion over men. But when it comes to men, guys, we've got to start wearing condoms more. And the amount of fucking men, gay and straight, that I've hear from, like, I can't wear a condom. A condom's the worst. You know, I try to put on a condom and I lose my erection. It's so embarrassing. A condom takes 2 fucking seconds to put on. Like, how are you losing your erection putting it on? Like, if you find it that difficult, practice at home when you're having a wank. Try put on a condom so next time when, you know, you're with someone, you can put it on easily, okay? Condoms are cheap. They're easy to get. They don't feel that bad. Or someone else said to me, you're a bottom. You haven't worn a condom. I've worn a condom before, okay? It feels fine. Like, is having sex without a condom better? Yes. By the way, wait, I want to say this as well. Of course I've had sex without a condom and been irresponsible in that way. Like, I'm not saying this is like, oh my God, I'm the person that uses, you know, condoms 200% of the time. I've never not done, like, I've done it. I remember the first time I did it when I was actually quite young, someone I really liked. And he was fine. He wasn't like promiscuous or anything, but then he was in a relationship with someone, but his boyfriend was like a bit, and I remember thinking like, oh my God, what if I got like AIDS and I don't even know? Like, I was kind of scared. Like, I had it on my brain. And I think that's healthy. Like, I think we should have a fear of that. I think you should have a fear of getting an STD. I think you should have a fear of getting pregnant and you may be in a position where you have to end a life. And I think we've got to get to either ladies go on the pill or get guys to wear a condom, and men need to like man up and realize that wearing a condom's not that fucking bad, okay? It's really not. And also as well, like I said, yes, it's better without a condom, obviously. We all know it's better without a condom. That's why we often throw caution to the wind and go, oh, I'm not going to use it this time. But like, there's a lot more to sex than just like the penetration part too. Like, there's a lot to sex, okay? There's like a lot to do with force. I mean, if you're doing it right, like, are you so unoriginal that all you're doing is whacking on a condom, sticking it in, then we're over? Like, there's a lot more, like with foreplay and things you're doing, I'm not going to get like so explicit, but there's like a lot to sex, okay? And then I'm just like, oh my God, there's so many things you can do to make sex enjoyable. And then to act like the whole sexual act rests on the one penetrative part, and that if you wear a condom, I can't feel anything. I can't stay hard with the condom. Like, you're just a child. You know what I mean? Like, you should be aroused enough that you can still get it up with the condom on. And I'm just sick of this like childish mentality of I can't wear a condom. Like, we need to get back to wearing condoms. Have sex with as many people as you want. Just wear a fucking condom. And we shouldn't be pumping ourselves full of these ridiculous drugs. And we shouldn't be getting abortions willy-nilly. Like, I'm sorry, most fucking abortions are because you didn't want to wear a condom. Like, we all know that. Like, they always bring up the cases of, you know, this person was raped and stuff. Yes, of course that happens. Like, there's rape and assault or, you know, the very rare case, like the condom broke or I was on the pill and it, for some reason, you know, the sperm connected at the time when the pill wasn't working. Yes, that happens. That is the minority of the times. You and me know that most of the pregnancies are because you just were like, I'm going to fucking raw dog it and hope for the best, or I'm going to have him pull out or whatever. A lot of people I know do the pull out method. I go, are you crazy? I've had straight friends, you know, when we've talked about it, they're like, no, he just pulls out. I'm like, you can still get pregnant, like from pre-cum and stuff. Like, I don't know, man. I just feel like we need to be taught more in schools what like an abortion is. Like, yes, it should be available. Like, I totally think it should be available for everyone, but I think people need to kind of understand more like the gravity of it. Like, you are ending a life. Like, if you didn't get that abortion, that's a whole person with a whole life. And okay, maybe they're a serial killer, maybe it's good you got an abortion. Okay, a lot of people walking around, I think, you know, I wish your mother had made a different decision in life. But like, there's probably a lot of good people that were aborted too. And I feel like maybe if people understood more, like, you are ending a life, okay, they would be a little bit more careful. That moment when they're in the heat of passion, they're thinking, nah, I want him to nut inside me. Go, you know what? I'm actually going to make sure I'm on the pill. I'm going to make sure he wears a condom. And if he carries on, we'll fucking just give him a blowjob. Go, okay, well, you're not going to fuck me then. I'll just give you a blowjob. Or you can fucking eat my damn pussy out, okay? But, like, you're not nutting inside me without a condom. It's not that difficult, okay? So I just think we all need to get on the side of, like, let's just bring condoms back. I don't like the condom erasure. Or just be in a relationship, okay? In a monogamous relationship where you, like, don't, because you don't have 1,000 fucking partners where you've got to be fucking getting chlamydia tests every day and shit, okay? Just, you know what I'm trying to say, guys. So just grow up, everyone, for fuck's sake. It's not that bad. I've warned them before. It's fine, okay? It's fine. It's not that bad. Okay, let's talk about some Bravo now. Even though, to be honest, I would rather talk about Mama June, but I still can't get the episodes here. I'm not kidding you guys. You cannot get Mama June, Road to Redemption in Australia legally anywhere, okay? Like, you can't buy it. Like, you can't buy it on Amazon. You can't buy it on Apple. You cannot stream it on any streaming service. It is nowhere. And I did find some illegal streams for it, but I'm really, like, OCD about watching things in the exact order that they're in. And there was like one or two episodes that they didn't have. And I'm like, I can't watch this out of order. I have to watch the whole thing. I am very upset because the little bits and pieces that I'm seeing of this new season of Mama June, it looks like excellent television. It looks like a portrait into the worst mother of all time. From what I have gathered from the little bits that I've seen, yeah, Mama June's just dating this new crackhead and she's spending all this money on him. Actually, did they get married? I think I talked about this. You know, Mama June lives such a vibrant roller coaster life that I sometimes forget what she gets up to. Hang on. Married. Did they get married or not? Mama June confirmed she got married, an emotional tribute. Yeah, she did. She's giving this fucking junkie all the money. I saw a clip where Honey Boo Boo had to go sit down with Dr. Ish. He is the psychologist from, he may not even be a psychologist, actually. He might just be like a counselor. He's from Marriage Boot Camp. He appears on Mama June a lot and kind of like gives therapy to the family. And Honey Boo Boo was like, I've like kind of given up on Mama because fucking Mama June doesn't show up to anything. Honey Boo Boo said she doesn't think Mama June's going to come to her graduation. And, you know, she's like, she's not even legally under Mama June anymore. Pumpkin took custody of Honey Boo Boo. So it's very sad. But yeah, everything I'm seeing from this season, honestly, it really looks like a fucking great season of reality TV because they're having really, they're having real family issues and like real shit going on. And Mama June is just such an absolute train wreck. She's just honestly like the worst parent on reality television. Like, she's so bad. And then the others, like Honey Boo Boo and like Pumpkin and stuff, they're so likable and like you so root for them. And they have there's another little kid that is Tinks, which is one of Pumpkin's kids. It's the cutest kid literally the cutest fucking kid on TV. So funny. Like, basically like a Honey Boo Boo Part 2. Like, you know when Honey Boo Boo was on Toddlers and Tiaras? Like, a skinny version of, like, that Honey Boo Boo. Just so funny. I just love them. So I am going to, like, when I can find that season eventually somehow, I know that I'm going to be able to track it down. One day I will track it down and I will watch the whole thing. Anyway, what do I want to talk about with Bravo? Oh, yeah, Ultimate Girls Trip. I had been saying that, you know, Dorinda wasn't coming off as badly as I expected her to. That was across the first three episodes. Well, episode 4 aired and Dorinda was a nightmare and everyone just hates her. You go on social media and nobody can stand her. Like, people can't stomach her. I posted on my Instagram at @unpopularjp on Instagram. I posted her doing aerobics. Okay. She has this thing called Dorinda aerobics, which is not even a thing. She's been trying to make this thing a thing, this Dorinda aerobics. It's just her dressed in like 80s, let's get physical aerobics, Jane Fonda gear, and like comically doing aerobics. It's so cringe. It's so unfunny. It's horrific. I've never seen anything worse than this Dorinda aerobics. And she's trying to, I don't know what she thinks it's going to be. Does she think it's a meme? Does she think it's a brand? I don't know, but she's like trying to make it a thing. And I just posted like, this is so fucking cringe. She's so awful to watch. And like everyone responded to the post agreeing with me. Like even her fans don't like her. And people now that people have watched her on Girls Trip, people are going, I never want to see Dorinda on television again. And I agree. I've been saying that for a long time. She is so unwatchable because when she's sober, she's just this like doddering old annoying granny. Like, she talks like she's 90, you know, like which is weird because she's sort of, how old is she? She's probably late 50s, but she's, you know, a girl about town. Like, you know, late 50s is not a death sentence. Like, look at Ramona Ramona's very youthful and young and out and about and looks fantastic and on the town. Look at Luann. Like, Luann is just, you know, Luann's a stunner. Like, Luann is just, like, beautiful and she's out living her best life. And then Dorinda comes off like she's 1,000 years old. And then when she gets drunk, she's just so mean and nasty. And it's just not fun to watch. Like, if she ever comes back on Housewives in some capacity, I just hope it's as like a friend of the show. Like, I could not watch her full time. She always talks about Richard as well, her ex-husband, which I do have sympathy with her for that, because that's something that you might not ever get over, you know, but it's also just from a television perspective as a viewer watching her talk about Richard all the time. It's like, okay, every episode it's about Richard, like everything's about him. Just horrendous to watch. And someone tweeted that, who is it? Kourtney Kardashian on Twitter wrote, Dorinda is not a mean drunk. Yeah, he wrote, Dorinda is not a mean drunk. She is a mean person. Yeah, period. That's exactly what it is. She's not a mean drunk. That when she's drunk, it brings out the real her. I'm the opposite. I'm a nice person. When I get drunk, I'm very nice, way nicer than when I'm sober. So drinking brings out the real you. You know what I mean? And I've got to say, I love Jill Zarin on Girls Trip. Now, this Girls Trip, by the way, again, it's not that fucking great. Like, it's really not. People trying to praise it like it's the greatest Bravo show. You guys, you know that this is not the best show that's ever aired on Bravo. You know that you were just excited as a fan from, like, the prospect of the cast, that you brainwashed yourself into thinking it's so good. But, like, in years to come, like, you're probably not going to be rewatching this and looking at it as fondly. But Jill Zarin is really good on there, and like, she's annoying in like a funny way, and she doesn't seem like a mean person at all. And I actually would very much enjoy watching her on Roni Legacy if they do it. I really hope they do cast her. I think she's coming off, yeah, really good. So the cast for Girls Trip, Ultimate Girls Trip Season 3 is out. We have Tinsley added to the mix. So Tinsley is going to be there. I actually didn't know about Tinsley, but Candace is there. If you listen to my Patreon, you would have known about Candace being on the show many weeks ago because I already broke that. I didn't know about Tinsley, but the cast now is Tinsley. Obviously, Tinsley from New York, Candace from Potomac, Heather and Whitney from Salt Lake, Giselle from Potomac, Leah from New York, and Alexis and Marisol from Miami. I honestly think this season is going to be good. I actually think season two, this current Ex-Wives Club one, I actually think out of all three of them, that will be the worst. I think this upcoming season will be better, especially now that they've confirmed Tinsley and Candace. I think that's the right mix. The only ones I'm not so sure about is, you know, Giselle is brilliant TV, but I almost would have gone with a younger one because this season seems to have more of a young vibe. And then Alexis and maybe I would have got rid of, I mean, Alexis and Marisol from Miami are fantastic, but I would have maybe made this season more of the younger girls and maybe got Alexis and Marisol out and put one of the others on there. But I think they will be good. Marisol really knows how to like stir the pot. Like she's a hot ass mess. These are all like really quite big personality housewives. And I think they're going to be having a lot of fun. And I just think it'll have more of the vibe of season one because they're going to Thailand. Season one was Turks and Caicos. So we're going to get beautiful locations. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it, actually. I think it's going to surprise people because people are being very negative about it because obviously they don't have, you know, the names on there are not as big as some of the other shows because obviously between seasons one and two, we've had like, you know, Tamra and Kyle and Kenya and, you know, Luann and Ramona and, you know, Dorinda and Phaedra, like all these huge people. So obviously the cast for this new one, it's not as like, you know, Bravo A-list as the other shows, but I think they're actually going to deliver a lot more. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And thank God no one from fucking Dubai is on there. Lisa Rinna is in hot water. I actually did talk about this on the recent Patreon episode, so I'm not going to go over it all again. But, you know, in a nutshell, she shaded Housewives of Dubai and she said that the women on Beverly Hills get called racist if they go after Garcelle. This is all true. We all know it. How long have I been saying it for? We all literally know this is a fact. And she is being like, Lisa Rinna is being destroyed right now in the press and on social media. People have the, you know, fire Rinna hashtag, you know, she's a racist. And it's like, fuck, I love Lisa Rinna. I mean, the fact that she had the balls to go on her Instagram and post this thing about Garcelle, which everyone knows is 1000%, everyone that's not fucking brainwashed knows this is 1000% true. And like the Daily Beast, which is a fucking disgusting rag of a publication. They also did a fake news story about Leah when she joined New York and they tried to make out like she was this crazy conservative, like rape denier and criticized Me Too. And like, it was so outrageous. They did a smear hit job on Lisa Rinna saying that Lisa Rinna's racist microaggressions are like coming out and they're so disgusting. You know, the fans just twisted what she said, plain and simple. She did not say anything racist at all. And it was funny because I went on Twitter and I just tweeted, I love Lisa Rinna, exclamation point. And some people were upset about it. And like, I had people, I'm not kidding you guys, I had fucking Bravo fans in my mentions saying that no one has ever called the Beverly Hills women racist for arguing with Garcelle. I'm like, this is so blatantly wrong. Like, you go on YouTube, right, and type in, like, Garcelle racist. Articles come up. They did it to Kyle. They did it to Dorit. Remember, Dorit had a fight with Garcelle. They said that Dorit was being racist to her, and there was microaggressions because she, oh, yeah, because she called, remember she called Garcelle a bully, which Garcelle's the meanest one. Garcelle and Sutton are the meanest two on that cast. Like, look at their confessionals. They're the ones that always come for people. People have, like, a misperception of Erica Jayne. Erica Jayne actually does not come after people, okay? Like, yeah, when you poke her or you say anything, she'll go psycho on you. Like, remember Teddy when she said Teddy had pretend amnesia and she just like lost her fucking mind. But Erica doesn't come after people, but like Sutton and Garcelle, obviously the producers are like prompting them, come after people. And you know, if anyone reacts, dares to react, Dorit, Kyle, like they just branded a racist. And I just fucking love Lisa Rinna so much for saying it, because we all fucking know it's true. Anyone with half a brain. And if you don't understand that that's a fact, you are living in a fantasy world. So guess who jumped in and, you know, wanted to voice their two cents about this situation? Our girl Ebony Williams. Yes, Ebony Williams had to weigh in. She released a 7-minute video on Instagram all about educating white people on how to fight with black women. It was clearly inspired by Lisa Rinna's post. It was, you know, unbearable, as anytime Ebony speaks is usually unbearable. And it was completely disingenuous too, because it was really like, it was done under like a false premise. Because one, the video should have been directed at the fucking fans, not at like Lisa Rinna or the women on the show, because it's the fans that make it all about race, like on Twitter. You know what I mean? Like, they will take anything and twist it into a race thing. So tell the fucking fans to fuck off. Like, even Garcelle, right? As much as I've slammed Garcelle, Garcelle was not like woke using the race card to kind of like attack the other women when she joined Beverly Hills, like the first season. Like, yes, she was shady. She was shady, like Lisa Vanderpump, okay? She was coming after Kyle. She had this whole agenda to get at Kyle. But even in promo interviews for that season, Garcelle was sort of laughing about, oh, I think some of the women were a bit scared to come after me because of, you know, black Twitter would get them. Like, she was acknowledging, like, yeah, the, you know, black Twitter or social media, you know, will come for them and they don't want to get called racist. Like, she's sort of laughing about it and acknowledging it. And then it was like throughout that season, throughout the fans gassing her up, throughout all of the, you know, the unrest that we had, and for people making everything is a microaggression, everything is an act of racism. Like, they kind of got to her, and she's so hungry for power on that show, and she'll do anything on that show, that, you know, the second season, obviously, she opened the season coming after Kyle, you're racist for calling me out at the charity thing. And all of that, and it changed her. So what I'm saying is, it's the fucking fans' fault. Like, if the fans weren't weighing in, Garcelle probably would never have done that, honestly. Like, I don't think Garcelle would have been that type of person pre-Housewives. It's the fans that got in her ear. Like, Garcelle is, like, what, 55 or whatever? Like, she's not going to be woke. Like, people in that age group, like, then, you know what I mean? They don't think like that. They're not fucking like the people on Libs of TikTok. So anyway, Ebony should have addressed this to the fucking dumbass fans, for one. And many of the minority housewives, like the black housewives on the shows, not the Asian housewives, because they've actually been, we saw how they have come for Crystal, but a lot of the black housewives, like Garcelle, have actually been treated much softer than anyone else in their position would be. Like, hello, Lisa Rinna last year. Garcelle kept coming at her all last season, just like she did with Kyle in the first season. And Lisa Rinna was like not giving her that reaction. Lisa Rinna was like always trying to diffuse it, and I'm going to work on our friendship. The only thing Lisa Rinna did was the sauce about that. You should have thanked Harry for that, which she was trolling Garcelle. Like, that was a troll. Like, if you didn't get that she was just trolling her. Whereas if anyone else came at Lisa Rinna like how Garcelle was last year, oh my God, you know, honey, we all know Lisa Rinna. Like, she doesn't play. We've seen how she's coming after Kathy Hilton, which I don't think the Kathy Hilton thing's even that bad. Like, you know what, Kathy Hilton's lied about something, or Kathy Hilton's done something shady. We're going to see it play out on the show. And Lisa Rinna, we've seen how Lisa Rinna's been at her on social media. We saw how Lisa Rinna was with Denise Richards. Like, Lisa Rinna will fucking cut a bitch, okay? Lisa Rinna doesn't play. Garcelle was fucking coming at Lisa Rinna, and Lisa Rinna was like playing dead, roll over, play dead, okay? So for Ebony to come out and frame this video like white women are, you know, maybe having microaggressions and stuff to their black cast, it's just fake. Like, it is not true. It's not reality. It does not happen on the show. And it didn't even happen to Ebony. Like, on Ebony's show, like, yes, actually, you could probably say that, you could say that Ramona made microaggressions or whatever, for sure. But, you know, if we want to look at what everyone did, well, we know that, Ebony went and said that Luann called her an angry black woman when she didn't. She never said that. Ebony has never apologized for that or acknowledged it. In that scene, she was getting angry and yelling, and Luann said, "You're an angry woman." And then Ebony ran upstairs to Leah and said, "She called me an angry black woman." And it's like, girl, she never fucking said that. So it's just like, just stop. Like, this is all bullshit. This is all fake. No one believes a word of what you're saying. Like, go away and make this video at the fucking fans and tell them to shut the fuck up, okay? You know what I would love? Imagine Crystal and Tiffany Moon from Dallas came and did a video addressed to black women and white women, and it was about, why don't you listen to Asian women? Because, you know, if we want to play that whole minority game, why didn't Garcelle listen to Crystal's concerns about Sutton? Sutton has made problematic comments before. Like, Sutton was being problematic last season, and Crystal expressed that she felt like Sutton had said something, and like Garcelle came out of her way and said, oh, last year you were trying to set Sutton up, which she knew that like Crystal was not trying to do it. So imagine if Tiffany Moon and Crystal said, dear black women, when you're dealing with Asian women, like, please listen to our lived experience. If we say something is problematic, don't accuse us of a setup. Please listen to us. Can you imagine if they did that? But oh my God, guys, if Crystal and Tiffany Moon came out and did that video and they aimed that at black and white women, honey, you would see the real woke Twitter, okay? You would see who the real fucking racists are, okay? You would see so much anti-Asian racism come out then, which it does slip out, because sometimes a lot of, I notice it happens a lot in America. They almost consider Asians as like white. Like, you see the stuff that goes on with like the education, how they throw them in that same basket and stuff, and there's all stuff about that. I'm not going into that. You can look that up. But you would see so much anti-Asian racism from certain people if Crystal and fucking Tiffany Moon decided to pull an Ebony Williams and drop a video like that. So this whole thing is just so fucking just ridiculous. Speaking of just fucking garbage, all this fucking race garbage, right? I was on Twitter and love Andy C. She's a nice girl. We've followed each other for years. You know, she never unfollowed me. Like, I've told you guys about how so much of Housewives Twitter blocked me and unfollowed me when I dared to, what was it? I said they were using the fake colorism issue on Potomac, which they did, which black Twitter was saying that. So I literally just said the exact same thing that like all of the black fans were saying, but then because I said it because I was white, I got destroyed. And because I didn't like Garcelle. So, you know, I was, you know, they try to fucking destroy my life over that. So many of them disowned me. But, you know, definitely there's many that still do follow me and I follow them back. And Love Andy C never unfollowed me, and she's, you know, very woke. So shout out to Love Andy C. Nothing against her. But she posted something about how, like, Stassi from Vanderpump Rules has pitched a new pilot or pitched a show for Peacock. I don't know. And Love Andy C was like, you know, I don't want to see Stassi back on television. And I wrote, like, very innocently, I would like to see all of the OGs, Vanderpump OGs, back doing a show and following their real lives, which I would, because there's so much going on with them. Like, Brittany Cartwright was just on Sheena's podcast, and there's this whole thing going down about Jax and Brittany skipping out on Stassi's wedding and Stassi's wedding to Bo. There's all this drama around that. My girl, Kristen, who we all hoped Kristen would have her happy ending, she broke up with her boyfriend, very sad. You know, she was on Instagram the other week, moving out, you know, boxes, crying. There is so much going on with their real lives. The divorce, Tom and Katie's divorce, you know, fucking what else? It's all happening in their lives. Very interesting, juicy stuff. I want to follow their real lives, all of them. I think anyone that's a fan of good reality television and is a fan of these characters from this show would want to watch that, okay? We don't want to watch people pretending to work at Lisa Vanderpump's crusty old restaurant. It's boring with fake drama and it's so stupid. But so I said that, and I think it wasn't just Love Andy C. People were replying, do you just say this for attention, or, you know, can't tell if you're for real. And someone else, some account was like, oh, it's like his brand. He does it for attention. I had his number months ago, so I unfollowed. And like, I'm getting all these responses like that. And I'm like, all I said was I want to watch the Vanderpump Rules people on a show because it's entertaining. Like, that, how is this a shocking statement to people? Like, why, what, you think I'm making that up? What am I gaining from that? It's it's a TV show and I just want the show to be entertaining. And then, I responded. I said, well, they're the entertaining ones. And someone's like, yeah, entertaining and racist and homophobic and misogynistic and, you know, fucking transphobic something else. It's like, these fucking people, worms for brains. When you see these kind of responses from the Bravo fans, it does. And what they're doing to Lisa Rinna right now, honestly, it does turn you off the fandom. And I had another thing, which I actually talked about this on Patreon, I think, of this Ray Santa girl. She's like some Emmy writer. She's really into Bravo. I think she was, they were saying I was racist because I said Housewives of Dubai is boring. I said Real Housewives of Atlanta is having like the best season. It's fucking amazing. And Dubai is boring. And what they took from that was I'm racist. I can't handle diversity on television. Okay, girl. Like the fans are just so stupid. Just such worms for brains. Like it really makes you not want to be involved in the shows. Like you kind of want to, because the fans, they have become such a big part of it. You can't go on social media without seeing these fans and the fan accounts and the whole podcast economy around it. And it's like, sometimes you're like, wow, like you guys just suck all the joy and the fun out of these shows. And I try to like take the higher ground. Like when the Vanderpump Rules thing happened and they were like having weird conspiracy theories about me making it up, and I had his number months ago and I unfollowed when I saw he was doing this. It's like, you know, these people really don't they can't separate reality from reality television. You know, I think to myself, as much as I complain about things about, you know, my parents and stuff like that, you can't get laid here in my small town. I whinge about things. Things in my life are going well. And these people on Twitter, these Bravo fans, you know what? Probably many of them unemployed. Some of them may be, or maybe they are employed and they're overworked, you know, overworked, fucking running the checkout at the Walmart. They could be the single carer for a sick relative. And the only hope at the end of their day is, I'm going to get home and sit with my friends, Lisa Vanderpump and Captain Sandy. You know, they don't have real friends. Okay. They don't have real friends in real life. They think the people in the TV are their real friends. And, you know, when someone gets in a feud with, you know, Lala gets in a feud with Stassi or something, you know, they think that they're involved and that it's in their friend group, the conflict, and they can't separate it. So they have these, you know, bizarre reactions on social media and they think other people are in a plot. I have his number. He was plotting this. It's like, okay, so I just have to think, you know what? I hope your life gets better and I hope you can develop interests outside of Bravo and understand that it's kind of not real life and it's just a TV show and people aren't plotting and conspiring and, you know, it's not a Jeffrey Epstein. I'm not out on Epstein Island plotting my tweets about Vanderpump Rules. I hope you can understand that. And if you can't understand that, well, I hope the show continues to bring you joy, because if that's the light at the end of the tunnel for you, if that's the little glimmer of hope at the end of your day when you come home from fucking work in the checkout for 12 hours, good for you. And I'm not going to take that from you, because, you know, things are going pretty good for me if I look at your life. I also watched Southern Charm, second episode, really enjoying and I'm very happy that I'm back into it. They have this storyline going on with Craig and Naomi. So Naomi left the show. She was his girlfriend for a few seasons on there. She's come back with a nose job. She looks amazing. The nose job's so good. And they apparently hooked up and Austin's blabbing, because now Craig's with Paige and Austin's going, well, you hooked up more than once and I think you still have feelings for Naomi. I'm kind of calling bullshit on this, or if it happened, I think they're leaning into it because it's good for the show, but I kind of don't care. But I do feel like it's being exaggerated for the show, and I don't think Craig is still in love with Naomi, and I think he's very happy with Paige, and I think that, yeah, some of this has been created for storyline purposes. You know, maybe it has, maybe it hasn't, but I'm enjoying watching it regardless. Austin is friends with Shep, which is hard for me to see because I love Austin and I can't stand Shep. There is this new girl on there, Vanita. She's really beautiful. She's this like black model and she's an influencer and I like her. She's friends with Naomi and I think she seems like a good addition to the show. I think she was on the show last season, but I didn't watch last season. But one thing caught my attention. She was doing her little intro on the show and she was talking about her career as an influencer. And she was like, you know, oh, influencing, it's so lucrative. You know, I can make 7 figures a month. And I was like, wait, isn't that like millions? 7 figures is in the million mark. I'm like Googling. I'm like, is 7 figures a million? Because I'm not good with math. And I'm like, wait, how many followers does she have? And then I go to her Instagram. She only has 80,000 followers. And keep in mind that she would have filmed this Southern Charm thing 6 months ago. So she probably had less followers. She probably had under 80,000 when she filmed that little confessional bragging about making 7 figures. Honey, no one with 80,000 followers is making 7 figures from influencing. Also, if you're making 7 figures a month influencing, you wouldn't be on fucking Southern Charm. You know what I mean? Like, you'd be living your best life. So that was strange. So it was either like, well, she's just lying and she exaggerated it too much and made herself look foolish, or they've taken things out of context. Like, I was wondering, did the producer say, like, oh, so is, you know, influencing really lucrative? And she's like, oh, yeah. You can make 7 figures if you're Kylie Jenner's level with 100 million followers, you know, something like that. I'm wondering if she said that and then they made it look like she said she can make 7 figures. But honey, you're not making 7 figures at all. But she's good on the show. Catherine still has no place on this show to me. She seems so disconnected from the group. She almost has like her own thing going because she has this boyfriend. And they just have their own relationship drama. They don't seem to be friends with anybody. Even Catherine, like, looks different to everybody else because everyone else sort of, they have this, like, southern kind of Charleston look to them. And now Catherine, she has, like, this bleach blonde hair and, like, fake tan and fillers and stuff. And, like, she looks like she should be in LA. Like, she doesn't even just visually doesn't even look like she's a fit for the show. Like, she's have this beautiful red hair. And, you know, redheads, I love redheads and this really nice pale skin. And now she's like blonde and filled and sucked and tucked. And she's so toxic and gross. And she just picks fights with the boyfriend. Like, I cannot believe, I don't understand why she's still full time. Like, they absolutely do not need her. They have so many people on this show now. They have all these new side characters because everyone's got a girlfriend. Shep has a girlfriend. She's on the show. Austin has some young girlfriend. I think that's 23. She was picking a fight and then Vanita got into it with her. Naomi's back. I do not know what Madison is doing. You know, Madison, it's my first time watching a season with Madison. I think I watched when she very first came on Southern Charm, then I stopped watching after that. But I know that Madison was like the main storyline of Southern Charm for like the last 2 years, right? It's been all about Madison. She's been everywhere, the A-Rod affair, all of that. I know she's engaged now, but does she live in Charleston? Like, I Googled and I saw she just bought a home in Charleston recently with her fiance, but I'm like, do they actually live in that home permanently or do they have another home in like LA and she just flies in for filming? So I don't even understand like what she's doing on the show. They haven't shown her partner or anything yet. I don't even know if she's full time. She just shows up at parties and I don't get it. So I don't really know what Madison's doing there. And this Lever girl, Lever's stunning, by the way. What is she? Is she Latina or is she like Indian? She's so beautiful, but like, she's so boring. Like, she's not doing anything. And I know that Lever got a lot of attention from last season. Again, I didn't watch last season, but I heard a lot about Madison and Lever, and Lever's a new girl and people really liked her. And she's got a spin-off now. They're giving her her own, like, Candy and the Gang Vanderpump Rules about people that work at her restaurant. So I was, like, expecting her to be this big personality and, like, she's barely in it. Like, she doesn't do anything. So I'm kind of confused by that. Housewives of Atlanta was not on this week. That's a shame because fuck, that season's good. So funny. I talk about that more on Patreon, I think. I got caught up with Better Call Saul. So if you're not up to date with that, just like a couple little things on that. Saul, you know, Jimmy and Kim, they are so fucking vile. I hate them so much. They're so evil and terrible what they did to Howard. Howard was my favorite character on the show. I love Howard. And they are disgusting, but, you know, they've really done a good job at mirroring Breaking Bad because that was the same feeling with Breaking Bad, you know, with Jesse and Walt, where you see them progressively get worse and you try to kind of see the good in them at the start. And then when you get to like as it goes on, you're like, oh my God, this Walt is like the fucking, like a psychopath, sociopath. This guy is just the worst ever. But, you know, you at least had Jesse who, you know, Jesse did bad things, but you knew that he kind of had a good soul. Whereas like Kim and Jimmy, you know, Saul are both, they're just fucking rotten to the core. Like, I don't have any empathy for either of them. I think they're sick when they were making out after what they did to Howard. Like, fuck them. But yeah, I'm excited for the show to wrap up and, you know, to free up time for me to do another scripted show. I think I am going to rewatch Succession. I mean, it's just so fucking good. I want to watch it again. Just love it so much. And I'm very excited for The Bachelorette, you guys. I'm really looking forward to The Bachelorette, I've got to say. And I know that they've filmed Bachelor in Paradise as well, so I can't wait for Bachelor in Paradise to come back. I'm really ready to just dive back into Bachelor Nation. I know a lot of you don't watch The Bachelor, and I actually don't end up covering it on here that much because it airs like right as I'm, you know, would usually be putting a show out. But, you know, if I can, I might actually cover it more because I fucking love it. It's so good. All right, guys, thanks so much for listening. Please follow me on social media, Twitter and Instagram at UnpopularJP. If you'd like to support me and get extra content that is unpopular, no, that's patreon.com/unpopularJP. The links are in the show notes. I'm going to give you guys a house tour on Patreon in the next few weeks. When I move in, I think I might wait for my couch to arrive at least, so it's just not empty. I did say on Patreon there's a few things that I've done to the place that I'm, you know, regretting a little bit, but I had no idea what I was doing, guys. Okay. It is what it is. I can't, it was too much fucking money. All right. Even with my budgeting app and saving money now, yeah, I mean, what's done is done, okay? I cannot replace those curtains, so they're just going to have to stay there. Thanks for listening, guys. 100th episode next week. So look forward to that. See ya.